The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
After a tumultuous week in this country, we've seen a minister resign and the rest of us left with this unsettled sense that Ireland has been left changed as a result of the fuel protests. For his take, I'm joined now by Irish Times columnist Fintan O'Toole. Good morning, Fintan.
Good morning, Claire.
For you, these recent weeks were about more than fuel, or became about more than fuel, and they represented a challenge to the state, or so you've written. When over the course of the last week did you see that change happen, or did you judge it to have changed?
I would say it was about 2 days in, Claire, and you know, I imagine most people sensed that. You know, I think there's no question but that you know, for the first couple of days, the protesters probably enjoyed the support of most people, because most people are feeling the same distress. You know, the protesters were expressing their own economic difficulties, but they were also, I suppose, representing in some way, you know, the pressure that so many families, you know, all over Ireland in different economic circumstances are under. However, I think there's a moment when this shifted from being, you know, against the government to being against the state. And that moment really is when they upped this whole rhetoric and logic of declaring themselves to be the people of Ireland. And this has been consistent really throughout. It was being used again yesterday by the independent Ireland TDs who seem to be kind of trying to put themselves now at the head of this movement. And it's dangerous stuff, you know. I mean, this is not harmless rhetoric. You know, when you have self-elected, unaccountable groups declaring that they're not just one pressure group among many in our society, but are the people of Ireland, then what they're basically saying is, you know, we live in a constitutional democracy where the people are sovereign. So they're claiming sovereignty over the country. Mm-hmm. And this was represented in both their rhetoric. So, you know, to excuse the language, but we had one of the leaders saying we have the country by the balls. And it was represented in the actions. You know, when they start to blockade ports, when they start to impose a kind of internal blockade on the country, so telling Irish citizens whether they could come or go, whether they were allowed to go, you know, to do their work or not, whether they were allowed to go and have a hospital appointment or not. You know, we really do need to recognize that this stuff is a challenge to our democracy and not just a challenge to government policy.
And where do you think it goes from here? I mean, I said that we're all left with this sort of unsettled feeling after it all, but I'm not quite sure we have a handle on what exactly has changed as a result. Do you?
No, it's very difficult to know, but I do think we can use historical precedents and we can look at what's happened in other European countries, right? So this movement that we saw last week is something that's happened in a lot of other European countries, particularly the Gilets Jaunes in France, the sort of farmers and hauliers movement in Holland 2 years ago. And like, let's face it, these movements go to the far right. You know, the idea, you know, some people on the left have this fantasy that this is all going to lead to some kind of progressive change. What you could see that there's a mix up in these protests around, you know, absolutely legitimate, and you know, people have an absolute right to protest, they have an absolute right to make their voices heard. Mm-hmm. But the fuel issue is being mixed up with immigration. It's being mixed up with a reaction against policies to tackle climate change. It's a sort of generalized opposition to taxation. We had this rhetoric. I mean, James Gagan, who's, you know, one of the leading spokespeople for the protest movement, I mean, talking about, you know, how the people of Ireland have been robbed and bullied for years and they're sick of it. Now, you know, the people of Ireland have not been bullied for years. We have a democracy, you know. They haven't been robbed. And I think what this means is, you know, that being bullied is having to obey the same laws that everybody else has to obey and that are made by people that we elect, whether we like that or not. And being robbed means having to pay your taxes, you know, which obviously some of these people have great difficulty in doing. And that rhetoric is familiar. It's common throughout history. It's this sort of self-pity that feeds into the far right, you know, this sense of being overwhelmingly oppressed by democracy.
Would you say a lot of people who were genuinely concerned for their livelihoods because of the cost of fuel and joined those protests for those reasons moved back and moved away when some of that rhetoric started to be, when we heard it on the airwaves, when we saw it on social media, that a lot of people who were out there for genuine reasons said, you know what, this is not for me?
Absolutely. Certainly, just anecdotally from people I've talked to, you know, farmers or people in the haulage industry who were out, you know, people like, no, I mean, they were out. And actually, one man I was talking to was very honest and actually quite moving what he said to me. He said, I was very proud to be an Irish farmer because when it came to it and the police told us that we had to move on, we moved on, we accepted it, you know. And it is important to say that that's true of, I think, the large majority of people who are involved. You know, they made their point. I think a lot of people did start to get very, very uncomfortable when there was this air of dictatorship really coming from some of their leaders, you know, saying we're in charge now, we can tell everybody what to do. I think just pragmatically, you know, I think an awful lot of people who were out on the protests were thinking about Monday morning and the schools going back and, you know, are we really going to be the ones who stop our kids from going to school? You know, are we really going to close down the entire economy? However, having said that, I think we have to recognize, and you know, you're asking what's changed. There is a far right movement in Ireland. There are people who are very, very active, who are agitating and who've been looking for a moment. And I think this is a moment for them. There are undoubtedly going to be some people, I think particularly maybe a lot of the young people who are out on the protests. And remember, when I say people, let's be clear about this. We're talking about men. One of the big problems with the rhetoric that they've had about being the people of Ireland is that people of Ireland seem to be 99% male, you know, and 99% people who can afford very large HGV vehicles. You're not in the people of Ireland if you don't fulfill those two criteria. But the people who do and who are out.
The problem is a lot of them have borrowed money to buy those vehicles. You know, that is another side to it, which we can't lose sight of as well. And there are people under pressure.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not denying the pressure at all, but the form of protest, right, depends on having access to those vehicles.
And, yeah.
You know, you or I or the vast majority of people who are listening cannot engage in this kind of protest, right? So it's not normal democratic protest. I mean, there's nothing in the Constitution saying that you have a right to assemble with a two-ton truck. You know, it says you have a right to assemble. It says you have a right to protest. It says you know you have a right to get together and make your point, just like everybody else has. But this is different. I mean, this is you know, it's a different form of protest, and it's a form of protest that's only available to a certain number
and
of people.
Can I ask you about the notion that people may have been radicalized? Because over the weekend, I was looking on a farmer's social media who I follow, who has a lovely farm shop, and the website wasn't working. And he made a video saying that he believed that the government had taken down his website.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I thought, What has happened? Yeah. What is going on? Like, this is a reasonable person, in my view, who believes that Micheál Martin or someone who works for Micheál Martin has taken the time to take down his website. It's just madness.
It is madness, and there is a lot of madness around, and we have to face this. You know, something happened during COVID in particular and took off, you know, and you could see people outside the Dáil yesterday who were sort of, you know, supporting the protest, but they're waving stuff about vaccines and, you know, there's all that kind of craziness, frankly, out there. And some people who experienced the heady, intoxicating thrill of being in charge of the country for about 4 days, which they were. I mean, they were calling the shots in our country for about 4 days. For some people, that's a high. And it's an addictive high, and they will be very, very tempted to get back into it. The majority of people who are involved in the protests will just go back to their businesses, back to their families, back to their communities and try and get on with life. Yeah. But let's face the fact that there are going to be a significant number of people who will have been radicalized by this and who will feel that they've got power and they want to use it.
Listen, there's a good point made here by a listener who says that they agree with you in general, but many in this country expect the government to pay for everything, right? That's fine. That's agreeing with you. However, I do think that when we agreed to the USC, for example, we agreed to a temporary tax. 17 years later, it's still there. Grocery prices out of control, large supermarkets making huge profits. You could say the same about energy companies and our energy costs in this country. So there are people who do feel that we are being robbed, whether that's by commercial interests or by the state itself.
Well, you know, this rhetoric about being robbed, you know, look, there are huge decisions taken by governments. I fundamentally disagree with probably 90% of those decisions, right? I fundamentally disagreed with the austerity that was imposed on us in 2011. There was fundamental social injustice that was built into the whole system as a result of that. You know, I think I've been fairly consistent about, you know, trying to point out that the people who suffer most, you know, are people with disabilities, carers, you know, people on low incomes, people who are dependent solely on old age pensions. That's a larger group of people than people who have access to HGVs and tractors, you know. And my point is not that people shouldn't be protesting, shouldn't be making their voices heard, shouldn't be, you know, demanding that governments do things, particularly to protect the most vulnerable in our society. But that conversation, you know, has to include a whole range of people. And it cannot be a conversation in which 3 or 4% of the population declares itself to be the people of Ireland and then says our issues and the things that concern us, like green diesel, for example, are more important than every single thing mm-hmm. else. That's what's happened. And government is absolutely to blame for a huge amount of this. It's been hugely complacent. I mean, it was obvious to everybody that when Trump started his war in Iran, we were in for a very, very profound energy crisis. A crisis for which we're not prepared in this country because our energy policy has been abysmal over the last 20, 25 years. This is a country which in the 1980s had a lead, a technological lead in the world in offshore wind energy generation. What did we do? We just dropped it completely because it wasn't in somebody's interest to continue with it. We have the largest single offshore energy resource in the European Union, and we haven't used it. There are huge yeah. long-term issues of complacency, okay. but also short-term issues of complacency. It was obvious to everybody that we're going into a period of extreme social distress and disturbance, and it doesn't feel like we have a government which is in charge of that or has a real plan. It's just reactive. And because it's reactive, of course, it's very tempting for any individual group then to say, if we can bring the country to a halt for a couple of days, the government's going to give in and give us
yes,
what we want.
It's going to react in its reactive way, as you describe. Fintan, I need to leave it there, but thank you very much for speaking to us. That is Fintan O'Toole from the Irish Times. And we're getting a lot of messages in response to what Fintan had to say. Keep them coming. We'll come back to them a little later on. 087 1400 106 is the number.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.